The deadliest Ebola outbreak on record continues to spread in West Africa, crossing national borders and human bodies to claim the lives of nearly 700 people. Liberia has closed most of its borders to prevent the spread of the Ebola virus. As local and international doctors work overtime, reports have emerged of other dangers facing health workers in the region. Speaking on this program yesterday, Ken Isaac, who is vice president of programs and government relations at Samaritan's Purse, told us about the violence his staff encountered in northern Liberia trying to bury someone who had died from Ebola.
We were met with a roadblock. The men in the ambulance were attacked. They were beaten. They were cut with machetes. Their car was burned. Our staff were not hurt. They were able to get away. We were not able to retrieve the body. What these reflect is that the population doesn't understand the disease. They don't have the basic knowledge to allow health care to come in. And again, this feeds into what is a growing catastrophe in West Africa.
Adia Benton has worked in Sierra Leone with the Ministry of Health, working on issues of infectious diseases. She's an assistant professor of anthropology at Brown University. Professor Benton, welcome.
Hi.
You heard that difficult-to-listen-to statement there from Ken Isaac from Samaritan's Purse, who we talked to just yesterday. How common is his experience among aid workers working in the region?
I think it's actually not very common, at least recently. But what I think they're confronted with is a disease that people are not familiar with. And a lot of, I think, ill will towards foreign intervention and also government intervention that has proven so far to be fairly inadequate.
So is it the case that an infectious disease, which might be mysterious to people, is definitely terrifying to them, is sort of a proxy for other forms of mistrust they might have for foreign aid workers, foreign governments, things like that?
Absolutely. I think that what people perceive is an inadequacy of response from the beginning. And you can see this in political cartoons. You can see this in blog posts and newspaper articles, editorials. And I think these rumors, but also this aggression towards outsiders, towards these foreign workers from Samaritan's Purse, amplifies and reflects existing mistrust and suspicion about the motivations of these different people, right? People are going into hospitals and not coming out. People are sending their loved ones into hospitals and they're not coming out. Certainly the case fatality rate is much lower than in previous cases, like Ebola in the mid-90s in Zaire. But people are still dying because they're experiencing symptoms that look like other things. And by the time they get to the hospital, people are dying. So it's reflecting mistrust. But I think there's also something about the disease that also fuels that suspicion.
Adia Benton, this is really nothing new. And in other places around the world, I can think of examples where politicians can't help but capitalize on this type of mistrust. I'm thinking Thabo Mbeki, the former president of South Africa, who fueled mistrust by claiming that HIV didn't cause AIDS. Taliban and other authorities in Pakistan accusing foreign aid workers who were vaccinating against polio of spreading U.S. propaganda and U.S. influence. This is nothing new. Is that type of political manipulation rampant in Sierra Leone and Liberia, or is it a different kind of dynamic?
Well, I don't see anyone taking advantage of it right now, right? I think what they're actually experiencing is aggression, like this representative from Samaritan's Purse described. So I don't think anyone's actually capitalizing on it quite yet. I think what's actually happening is people are worried about it because they are trying to curb the disease, but they're still not able to protect health workers from the disease itself or from people who fear them.
So what goes into the calculus then for an aid organization that wants to go into a place like Sierra Leone, Liberia, Guinea, what have you, to help? Obviously, they always think about their security. But when they want to go in to try to combat a dangerous infectious disease and they're confronting what may be real risks to the aid workers themselves, the calculus about how to handle the mission or go on the mission at all really has to change.
So aid worker security has always been the primary, and it sounds crazy to say this, but one of the things that I often critique in humanitarian aid is often there's a calculus where humanitarian aid worker security, especially international, i.e. foreign aid worker security, is actually prioritized over that of the local population. That said, it has to be more than education. It has to be more than outreach. Any kind of intervention has to be sensitive to existing political and local conflicts. I think MSF has made the point that in some communities, they've worked closely with communities to get early detection. It meant being very humble in their approach to how they're actually trying to educate people about the disease, but being very honest that this is something that very much affects the people who serve to combat it, that it is something that, that they can help with if identified early, but that there are going to be many losses. So this is, I think, one of the fundamental challenges when people are suspicious of the motivations of governments who take international money and haven't produced a response. They're suspicious because this is a disease that they haven't seen before and don't know the outcomes of, right? So what's fueling this right now is rumors. And rumors are, I think, as many anthropologists would argue, it's a reflection of existing tensions. And so if the rumor is that, oh, this person went to this place and survived, perhaps it would create a different kind of mood, or it may relieve some of the tensions that we're currently facing right now.
It's interesting, Adia Benton, that in some cases, rumor itself is an infectious disease that can be insidious, just like viruses.
It's so true. It is very interesting.
Adia Benton is assistant professor of anthropology at Brown University. She's worked in Sierra Leone with the Ministry of Health there. Professor, thank you.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.